My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast.
Hello, we're back. Welcome to the EDP F1 podcast post-Barcelona. We can sift through what happened around the circuit de Catalunya. Back on my Spanish.
It was muy bien.
Yeah, muy bien again. I'm here. Perry Hamilton's here.
Hello.
That was him, and that is him.
Yes.
He's here. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. Good to be back.
Back in the pod.
Missed it. It was just you and me last time.
I know, a little bit thin on the ground.
We've brought reinforcements.
We have. It's back to full strength with David Tillier.
Hello.
DT's back.
I am.
Good to have you back.
Good to be back.
Good to have you back. Good to have you back.
There's been a gap in my life.
We'll fill that gap for you and everyone listening. We will also do that with the part two, pre-Monaco, with some Oracle predictions, because Kyle Cumbers is back.
I am back. Very looking forward to it as well.
Good man. Right, let's get stuck into this then, shall we? As we were just talking about a moment ago, it's quite a good race. It started off quite well, but did it have something missing?
I think the level of expectation from the last season and a half has really kind of left us with that jaded view of, if it's not an absolute, you know, grabber from the very beginning, then we kind of feel a little bit, oh, I feel I'm entitled to a bit more than that. So it's sort of the new era of the entitled F1 fan has dawned. So
we're all spoiled.
Yeah, we are. We are a little bit spoiled. But I think that's a combination of good management, good innovation, tyres, dare I say it.
Not the T word, no.
But I mean, it's all been put together to make it so that it's exciting. And admittedly, it wasn't the worst race we've ever seen. It was probably, I would say, the least eventful and engaging race of the season so far. But, you know, it gave us exactly what we wanted. It gave us a race, and we hadn't had them for a while. So, yeah, brilliant.
Engaging, that's a good word, because I think that's maybe the biggest issue with the tyres. I don't know. We might as well get stuck into this straight away, because it's all anyone's talking about. So much is going on. So much is changing. You don't quite know who's doing what all the time. That's possibly what you lose with the tyres being as fragile as they are at the moment. And I've always been a big fan of it, and I'm trying to work out if what everyone else is saying is actually a point. Yeah. Whether they've got a point or not.
Well, Pirelli will be the first to admit that they don't like the fact that we're having four stops. They want sort of two or three stops is like their target, and they think four stops is a bit too much. But at the same time, I don't think the blame can totally be landed at Pirelli's door, and because if you look at the restraints that are put on them, they have to design their tyres using a 2010 Renault, which is nothing like the McLaren cars, doesn't have the same aerodynamics package, doesn't respond in the same way. They're not allowed to test their tyres at any of the current Formula 1 circuits. They have to test at completely different places. And also, they've put forward loads of recommendations. But all that happens is they put forward these recommendations, the teams sort of squabble between each other, and then the status quo is kept. So, you know,
that doesn't only happen to Pirelli. Obviously, that happens to everything that's decided in Formula One. But yes,
yeah. I was reading an article today from Jonathan Noble. I think it was on Autosport, and basically what just said was kind of his gist of his article. And I think he's right. I kind of agree that, you know, Pirelli, I think, have actually done a really good job with what they've done. And they're not there to make these brilliant tyres that are supposed to last. They're there to make something that's a bit off the wall and a bit intriguing, and not make them that predictable. You know, and it's been the same every season. We've had a different set of tyres come in at the start of every season. They have been slightly unpredictable, but teams have got on top of them, drivers have got on top of them, and they carry on. So I think they just need to stop moaning and start racing.
Ferrari have got on top of them, Kyle.
Exactly, yeah. And from the start, it sounded like Ferrari said, we'll do a four-stop strategy, and they were the ones that got it right. Everybody had tried to change to four-stop, but as somebody said, it's a lot harder to go from three to four to four to three. So, yeah, you can't knock Ferrari. And it's not like random drivers and random teams are winning each race. The good ones, the good drivers and the good teams are winning every race. And so, adding to David's point regarding Pirelli's sort, is it their fault or not? I saw a stat that Mercedes' qualifying time was 2.3 seconds quicker than last year, which is a quite a big amount.
Wow. Significant chunk.
Yeah, and actually McLaren's was, they were point, no, well, McLaren were a tenth quicker than they were last year, so yeah, sort of McLaren's point, they haven't gone backwards, just stood still. But
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Ferrari, Lotus were the ones that got it right, except there was the catch up. So
yeah, and I think adding on to that, I think if you took Mercedes and Red Bull out of the equation, you've actually got quite a standard sort of bit of racing there for a Formula 1. Mercedes have the issue that they are brilliant over a fast lap because they get their tyres very hot, but because of that they then overheat them, and then they can't
do two.
Yeah, so they're making the degradation actually look worse than the tyres are, because there's a fundamental issue with their car. Red Bull are struggling with them as well, because there's something not right that they can't do it as well as Ferrari. It's not the fault of the tyres, it's the fact that the teams haven't got it right for them, and the people that are struggling are the people that have got it wrong. The people that are moaning are the people that have got it wrong.
Also, the car.
Oh, sorry. It also doesn't help, I think, all we hear on the radio. If we didn't hear the radio conversations, I think we'd, you know, well, this is fine. But all we hear is safe tyres, look after your tyres in this corner. And the thing that really annoys me is when their engineers tell the drivers to do certain times, which are like, yeah, you've got to do to mid to late 20, 1 minute 28, which just annoys me. let them do whatever they want and tell them to do slower or quicker from that. But I think there's a point where they've gone, I think, like Pirelli, they sort of confirmed they don't want four stops, and I think they've announced today they will change the compound for Canada onwards, so we'll see how that goes. But I can't see the order changing that much, so I don't know how it's going to help Mercedes or Red Bull.
No, they've got to learn what they're doing, I suppose, in the brief gap leading up to Canada.
I mean, this is no different than a team coming out and saying, actually, do you know what? We're actually faster in a straight line, so can we straighten this piece of the track out, please? Can we not have corners here? It's part of the racing. It's dictated to you. It's part of the framework. You work within it or you fail. It's pretty simple.
That was me clapping.
Okay.
Right then. Well, let's talk about the racing, shall we? Forget all these tyres. Pirelli, you're fine. Carry on. Ferrari, then. It was the most important week for Ferrari, as it is every week with our, you know, championship predictions on the line. Almost a faultless weekend from them. And, you know, Massa on the podium as well. Terrific stuff.
Well, I mean, in many ways, at the moment, Massa's kind of outshining his teammate, he's not getting the win, but, you know, not a blistering qualifying time, got a penalty for blocking, stuck it on the podium. I mean, you know, had a chance at being second, but Kimi's very difficult to fend off, especially when he's on, you know, a fresher pair of boots. But to be able to get on the podium and put the people behind him that he did, and to make the start that he did, and to make up the ground that he did, and to keep the cool that he did, I think Felipe Massa had a fantastic weekend. So, not entirely faultless weekend when you look at the penalty from qualifying, but that fault's easily wiped out when you look at where they finished in the actual race and in the standings. And masterful drives from both guys. I mean, you could hear the love for Alonso from... I mean, it was incredible. It was goosebumps. I mean, it wasn't quite Kamui Kobayashi in Japan last year, which I believe was also a master on the podium at that moment, wasn't it? So, yes, he's a friend of loud podiums, I guess we could say. But, yeah, Ferrari had a great weekend, and you can't really take anything away from them.
Great driving on going to Fernando and his win on the opening lap, which has actually been a pattern for the season, that, you know, the guy who wins the race tends to do it after the first, you know, it does his good work in the first lap primarily, but some cracking, attacking driving.
I think Alonso did really, really well. I mean, Nico Rosberg did well, I think, to keep him behind for as long as he did. I can't remember how many laps it was, but there was a fair old time before he then started dropping back, and I think he just got mugged from there backwards, didn't he, really? But it was traditional Alonso. It didn't look difficult for him. He managed it, he pushed, and he got what he wanted, and nothing more. It wasn't extravagant, it wasn't over the top, it wasn't burning through tyres. He just did everything right and brought it home in front of his, you know, adoring crowd. I think he did a fantastic job.
Two wins for him, two wins for Seb out of the first five races. Kimi keeps picking up points at a ridiculously consistent level. Pattern. Are these going to be the three that take it all the
I think it looks like it, doesn't it? As I said, Mercedes will win the championship if it was just a Saturday championship.
Qualifying championship, yeah, maybe they should do that.
Probably hold as much water as our prediction league would.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the moment, yeah, it looks between them three, and yeah, unless something changes, like I said, these tyres, different tyres, but last week I can't see it changing that much. But yeah, the three at the moment look like they're going to be the three at the end of the year.
Indeed.
I wouldn't want to predict now which way, but
well, too late, we already predicted.
Yeah,
the beginning of the
you've
season.
You've already said, Carl. We're not
is this the Oracle saying that he doesn't want to predict
yeah,
something?
No, I don't know.
Good, it's all gamesmanship. It's like Christian Horner. Just ignore him. All right, then. Let's bring on the EDP F1 pit stops. Yeah. All I remember seeing from the first exchanges of Sunday's race was a Mercedes, didn't really matter which one, being overtaken by everyone. Mm. I just assumed they were running at the back by the end of it.
Even a Williams.
I've just been overtaken by a Williams. Bit harsh, I thought that, considering a Williams won there last year.
Bit harsh, bit fair.
Yeah, kind of in the middle, yeah. Really. I mean, yeah, when you're going backwards, you get frustrated about anything. I mean, but we've seen all kinds of things. I mean, we've seen a Mercedes and a McLaren be excited about getting into Q3. We've now seen a Mercedes be cut up that they're being overtaken by Williams. I mean, there are obviously some teams that are doing particularly well. There are other teams that are struggling. You genuinely have to believe that Mercedes' only problem is the tyres. But when you say only problem, I mean, that's like... It's the biggest problem going.
Well, are they getting this wrong somewhere? Is it the fact that they are qualifying so well? I mean, Lewis and Nico were the front row lockout, wasn't it on Saturday? So I mean, surely they just need to tone down Saturday a bit, and they can turn up Sunday.
Well, if you ask Nico, that's what they've been doing. You know, they didn't set their car up for qualifying; they set out for the race. It's just that car is very quick over us. It is. The quickest car, I think, at the moment over a single lap. It's kind of how Red Bull were a few years ago or last year, you know, when they can just bang out a single lap really, really quick. But the difference is that they haven't got the race pace that the Red Bulls have. So there's something fundamental about the way that their car works that doesn't work for the race.
Surely that can only be tyre wear.
Well, it will be something to do with the way that the car is set up from an aerodynamic point of view or from a mechanical point of view that is causing the tyres to heat up really quickly, which is why they can bang in this fast lap, because they can get the tyres within their operating temperature window straight away, and they can go bang lap, fantastic, try and string 12 laps together and it's not going to work, and that's where the issue is with that car. And I think probably Catalunya made it look that much worse because of the type of track it is.
There's also a problem they had last season as well, to be fair, certainly early on, and before they just became rubbish at both. But I mean, is this something that's going to be solvable, do we think? I think,
well, I think you get the idea from the interview, Ross Brawn and etc., that they don't really know. They've sort of, designers have made a very quick car. They can't work out why they keeps ripping up his tyres, and they got, well, as we know, Mercedes got enough people there to try and work this out, but yeah, it doesn't seem like a solution anytime soon, unfortunately for them. So
Lewis didn't seem in the best mood to try and decipher what they should do with his car, did they, at the end of it? But there we go. Okay, there's always someone worse off than you, and that would be McLaren, I suppose, wouldn't it? I mean, all these updates and ideas and hopes, and it's just not happening, is it?
No. I mean, it's awkward, because at what point do you just think, you know what, let's just hit the reset button on this? And I mean, because the Formula One season is such a protracted season, you know, it's not a short season, it goes from March to November. But really, if you're not in the hunt by, what would we say, June, July, you know, if you're not in the hunt by the British Grand Prix, are you really going to still, you know, is it money for old rope at that point? Should you just start concentrating on next year, or should you try and get as much, because there are so many points available for a win that if you are bringing in, you know, suddenly you find that one update, you find that hit, you're level with the playing field, bang, you've got your 25 points and you hit three wins in a row, you've got your 75 points under you, add that to whatever you've made throughout the rest of the season. The problem is they're not making anything big throughout the rest of the season. They're not having consistently good top 10 finishes. And I mean, you know, 9 and 10 doesn't count for McLaren. That needs to be podium 3, 4, maybe a 5 would be acceptable. Needs to be much higher positions than they're pulling in at the moment. So I wonder how long it's going to be before they just hit the reset button.
I did predict that Sergio would finish ahead of Jensen. I still think he should have done. team orders and Wright, because obviously they were a bit twitchy after what happened in Bahrain.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it was just a little bit of, you know, trying to make Jensen feel, you know, it's like loved. He's still number one kind of thing. Even though there is no number one, he is clearly number one. Yeah, I don't know, it's a bit difficult. I mean, as you guys know, I'm a big Jensen Button fan, and it was quite difficult to be a Jensen Button fan this weekend. In fact, it's probably been the hardest weekend to be a Button fan since 2008, I think. The car is awful. It is really quite awful. The thing that's great about Jensen is that when he's on his, when he's on it, he's really, really on it. Problem is, he can't work with a bad car. He needs the car to be there for him, and the car is just is a pile of steaming stuff.
Is this a big issue then? Because if are McLaren short of someone who can help them turn around the car?
It's a very big issue from their point of view of if you're looking at even next season. Because if they can't get that correlation between the stuff that they're building and then they're coming out of the factory and then going onto the track and pulling in the lap times, then if they can't rely on their wind tunnel results or the simulator and all that sort of stuff, well, how can they then go in and confidently build a 2014 car that they think is going to be competitive? That's where they're sort of struggling at the moment. And although they have made improvements, it's very hard to see because everyone else has made big improvements. You know, pretty much every car down the grid has had some kind of big updates, and therefore the status quo has stayed roughly the same, which means that McLaren are, you know, a poorer relative than you know, things like Force India and even Toro Rosso now I reckon got a quicker car.
Can't be great at Woking at the moment.
No, I think they kind of got the impression they bought every new part they could and rushed it through, new wings, sidepods, floor and everything.
I think they even just stapled a frying pan to the side at one point just out of sheer desperation.
Yeah, this is put all on, and I think it's probably just too much all at once probably. I think it's even for the future, McLaren seem to be losing quite a few head people there. You often hear so-and-so's gone there or whatever. And next year you've got the new engines, and now very much a customer team of Mercedes and the alleged Honda deal. You wonder how much Mercedes will give support to them, and then so they could struggle next year. And then if Honda do come in, our first year of Honda, and that could be another struggling year. So I think they are pretty worried. And I think Mick Marsh is quite worried from up above at the McLaren board meetings. He's got a job anymore.
Well, it does surprise me that he does seem to escape criticism given what this team has done over the last few years, but so we'll see how that one goes. Lotus, Hethel-backed. Mm-hmm. Don't laugh, it's official. I mean, it is a shame for Roman, obviously, technical issue, broken rear suspension, that's that.
Yeah,
I wanted him to build on what happened in Bahrain. I'll just have to do that in Monaco.
Yeah. Well, at least it wasn't. At that point, it's good because in many ways, you know, Roman's there going, you know, I could have done better. I could have been faster. It's the car that let me down. It's not him. He's not going to suddenly take two steps back from that. That's just going to spur him on and be stronger, I think. So it's not ideal for him, but it's, at the same time, a DNF could have been a lot worse for him.
Yeah, of course. Kimi, though, I mean, it's like a relentless consistency. I love it. I mean, he is, if I'm not mistaken, the closest man to Vettel at the top of the driver's standings.
Is it four points?
He's
something like that.
Close. He is four points behind.
Yet Fernando is the one who's also won two races. I mean, that says a lot about what Kimi's done so far, doesn't it?
Yeah, it also says a lot about the mistakes that Ferrari have made so far this year.
This is true. I would agree with that as well.
Broken front wheel.
But let's say Kimi. I mean, he is challenger, isn't he?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I don't think Kimi will ever stop as well. I mean, you just got to look at his face on the podium. I mean, there's not many drivers that would be that upset about coming second. You know, he's not happy unless he's winning, and all he wants to do is race cars and win. I've really, really warmed to Kimi in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, just because I think he's such a genuine racer. You know, he's not this corporate dummy that they sort of throw out to the press. He's not a
not a smiling yes man.
No, exactly. He's sort of cut from the same cloth as people like James Hunt and, you know, and Senna and that sort of people. He's just there to race and he wants to do well, and he's definitely got the skill, and I think he's probably got 90% of the car underneath him that he needs to do it. Fortunately enough, at the moment Kimi is bringing that extra 10% to keep him well up there. But yeah, if he carries on the way he's going, then he's going to be there right until the end, I think.
Technical director James Allison is leaving Lotus. I think there's a suggestion he might go to Ferrari
and
work back with Fernando. Is that a bit of a blow for Lotus to lose him?
It's hard to say because, as they always say, you know, it's just not just one team, one guy running the team, you know, designing the cars and what have you. It is a full team of people. The only team out there that really have that kind of setup is Red Bull. Even so, they still have a team underneath Adrian Newey that does a lot of the bits and pieces. So, yeah, it's probably a bit of a blow, but he's been there for quite some time. They'll have other people, and the car's already there. You know, they just need to keep evolving it. So I'm sure he's not the guy who's doing all of the work for them. The biggest worry I would have if I were Lotus right now is whether or not they can keep Kimi in 2014. Because the biggest rumour flying around at the moment is he will be going to Red Bull in 2014.
Him and his mate Seb. Caterham, we should mention as well, who are Hingham backed, Barry.
Yeah, sure, if you say so.
And a good update.
No, they are. No, they are. Yeah,
good updates on the car, including aesthetic ones. They had their modesty panel. It's a ridiculous name for a part on the car, but they seem to be restoring their position above Marussia now.
Yeah, and the upgrades in the last few races seem to have worked, even though Peak seems to be the only one getting them straight away, and Vandegaard proved how good he was, or possibly how good he is, by qualifying.
Indeed, and he was running really well, wasn't he, until until they failed to put a wheel on properly, so, never mind.
Yeah, so hopefully they can keep this sort of momentum going and catch up the rest of the... rest of the field. So
there's a lot of nice details on that Caterham, I think. You know, like the turning vanes that they've put onto the side, they've clearly spent a lot of time sculpting those, and they've gone to a lot of effort. And I think pretty much the entire, apart from the tub, I think everything else is new on that car now. So it is a big step forward, and they're probably the team that's made the biggest jump out of all of them, even though it's hard to notice it when you're at that end of the that end. But yeah, lots of nice stuff actually in Spain. Lots of nice little things from Ferrari. A lot of nice little details. McLaren had a few little bits, but obviously their front wing they weren't allowed to use because it didn't meet, they couldn't get it through flexi test and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, so
the frying pan looked good, I thought.
Particularly aerodynamically beneficial.
Didn't they have one of those ticker things that you put in the rear wheel, like you had in your BMX?
Because like a little playing card in the spokes to make the noise.
Because that always made my BMX go faster.
Yeah.
So I reckon.
I think we should just right now just tell McLaren go faster stripes. I don't understand why they haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
Genuinely, whack some go faster stripes on it, and it will fly.
With McLaren put in their place, it's time for a driver, team or highlight of the week. Now we're going to do it properly now. Change the format. Let's discuss driver of the week. Who wants to go first?
I do.
Go on then.
For me, it's Felipe Massa.
I got that sense from earlier on in the pod.
But purely for his performance on Sunday. Saturday, no. And if he had a mid-card performance as a result of being knocked behind and he hadn't managed to sling it on the podium, then no, he wouldn't even be getting consideration. But for me, in this case, it was very difficult to choose between the obvious choices. Normally, sometimes we like to try and find the non-obvious choice or the subtle choice, and sometimes it goes to a mid-carder. But this time round, it's very difficult to choose between Fernando, Kimi and Felipe. But for me, it's just due to his performance and the fact that he does still get overlooked is Felipe. For me, it's Felipe.
Well, I think I'd give that a nod as well.
I think obviously Alonso is the obvious one, but I was impressed by Rosberg. this weekend. Even though he struggled Sunday, he didn't struggle as much as Hamilton.
He destroyed Lewis, really, in terms of performance, didn't he?
His qualifying lap, yeah, was a quarter of a second quicker than Hamilton, so yeah, he seemed to do well with a bad car on Sunday anyway.
You've never quite known about Nico, depending on his teammate, have you, and who he's had, but he's showing good signs. DT?
Right, my driver of the weekend goes to most improved driver, which is Esteban Gutierrez.
Oof! Yes, he actually was leading the race.
Led the race at one point.
Started 19th,
wow. Finished 11th. You know, that's a lot of places to make up, and to beat his teammate as well. I think he actually is starting to look more like a Grand Prix driver.
That'd be a job where he's going to take a few races, as it would do for anyone. Even if I stepped into a Formula 1 car, it would take me a few races to probably start it. Team. I'll let you, Perry. You don't have to go first. Anyone else can come in? Let's come in. Let's make it a battle. Let's go. Come on. Anyone?
Team's good for me.
No, it's paid straight in.
It's a Ferrari team this weekend. I mean, we talked about how it was a big weekend for them. They needed to come in, especially provide Fernando with the opportunity to perform in front of his home crowd. I mean, this is the second most important race for them after the Italian Grand Prix. I mean, this is the big one for them. And they did it. Rose to the occasion. Didn't have the storming pace on Saturday, but as Mercedes have proven, that can be overrated. I would rather start 5th and 6th on the grid and have a blinding first two laps than start 1st and 2nd on the grid and end up 12th, Lewis Hamilton. Bringing shame on the Hamilton name, I'd like to point out. For me, it's Ferrari. They did everything they needed to do, and they did it very, very well.
Difficult to argue with that, gents. Are you going to?
No.
All right, we'll take that. Highlight of the weekend.
I'll go quickly.
Go on, Carl.
Alonso's to the third corner.
Yeah, out of the second and into the third. Yeah. That's my highlight as well.
Going around. Yeah. Was it? Yeah. Hamilton and
everyone, Whiteman, wasn't it? Just everyone, just blitzing it as well. And but the thing is, when you saw it from the driver's eye view, from the pod on the car, the patience. And just knowing when to strike and the drive out of the corner, everything about that was perfection. It was beautiful. It was measured, it was controlled, and it was aggressive when it needed to be. Brilliant, brilliant piece of driving. Literally didn't come down from that moment for the rest of the race. It was that. It was amazing.
DT?
It's hard to argue with that, I think, for a highlight. But I did enjoy, we've already talked about it already, but I did enjoy when Hamilton was a bit annoyed on the radio being overtaken by Williams.
I don't know which I preferred, actually, of Hamilton's radio messages, when he said, "I've been overtaken by Williams," or when his race engineer was telling him how to drive more like his teammate, and he just was met with the stoniest silence known to man. Yeah, it was, I think it was, if it was a 7-second delay, it would have been beeped.
He asked afterwards, did that help? And he went, no.
With no prizes for the answer to that question.
Imagine what done.
Fantastic stuff. That's all good. I did really enjoy, and this wasn't the racing, this was the BBC coverage of Alonso and Mark Webber interviewing each other for the race. It was really interesting seeing them sit.
I think I may have fast forwarded that because I had it on record because I was painting my house.
Yeah, I had to fly through some of it, but. It was worth a watch. I enjoyed that situation.
On that note, I did enjoy seeing Rubens back because on Martin's grid walk, they interviewed Rubens because Rubens was just about to do his second ever grid walk. That was quite nice to see Rubens back. Do love that guy.
We did. I think Formula One. Well, our coverage of Formula One and just Formula One in general misses Rubens Barrichello. I miss Rubens. I think Rubens was really nice guy to sort of observe and to see, and the way he went about his business always seemed well. So he was a real ambassador for the sport. Really.
Bring back Rubens.
That's it. Bring back Rubens. Hashtag BBR.
Gents, we are done with Spain. We will deposit it, put it in the bank, and move on.
Arrivederci.
El Banco.
El Banco. Los Bancos. Thank you very much for your time. Good stuff. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with our look ahead to the glamour, glitz, and glory of Monaco. I should use that as my intro, really. Maybe I will. We'll be back in a bit. For now, goodbye.